How did I just die? What could I have done to change that? And what am I going to do next time so that doesn't happen again? I got hosted by Tim the Tatman for 20,000 viewers.
Welcome to the Becoming a Streamer podcast by Pipeline, where we interview your favorite streamers and learn about their journey to where they are today. I'm your host and co-founder of Pipeline, Snoopy. Today, I'm joined by Keo. He's now a member of Team Cloud9 and streams there full time. But when he first started, it was in high school, and he actually had to give it all up because he went to college. Keo really shares how carving a unique brand is really powerful for driving traffic. It's what got him the attention of folks like Tim the Tatman early on. So make sure you tune into this episode and think about how you can drive traffic from other platforms to your platform. If you love the episode, then please make sure you share it with a friend. Let's hear what Keo has to say.
I'm excited to have a fellow pro or former pro on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
So one of the things that we love to do before we go into your journey is just get a sense of where you are today. So where are you creating content? Are you on Twitch, Facebook? Which platforms are you on?
Yeah, so I am a full-time streamer on Twitch at twitch.tv/Keo. I mainly play Valorant. I used to play Fortnite and Overwatch, but now I'm kind of just mixing it up and seeing where it goes.
Are you creating content every day, every other, like what's your kind of
pretty much every day, 6 days a week. I've actually started streaming a little bit less so that I can focus on putting more content out on YouTube and TikTok and whatnot. But I stream in the evenings PST normally for about like 6 to 8 hours instead of 8 to 12, which is what I was streaming. So
yeah, that's definitely an evolution on that front. When you're, your view count, where are you at now in terms of like CCV roughly?
It depends because since I went from like a big transition from Fortnite to Valorant, it's like pretty inconsistent. Generally anywhere between like, I want to say 40 and 150 viewers, just depends on the day.
I can't wait to talk in about those transitions. But before we before we get to that, I want to rewind the clock, way back to much younger Keo when you were, first starting out. Where did you grow up?
So I'm actually still in the house that I grew up in. I live in Lake Forest, California, which is about an hour south of LA. So I've been here my entire life, which has been kind of nice.
That's awesome. Was your family like ever into content creation or entrepreneur? Like, how did you end up getting into making content?
Yeah. So I played a game called Overwatch, and like that was the first like FPS game that I took seriously. I played like Modern Warfare and stuff on, in Halo growing up on the Xbox, but that was my first like PC shooter. And I was like, oh, I'm kind of good at this. And yeah.
Did you get right into PC games, like PC FPSs, or were you on console before that? How did you make that jump on PC?
Yeah, so I started out, I had like pretty much all the Nintendos growing up. And then we got an Xbox, original Xbox, then Xbox 360. And then I had like an okay computer. It was like, I basically just took parts from like my family's computers and kind of just built my own computer. It wasn't great. And it ran Overwatch at like 60 frames. So it was not capable of like streaming or anything. And I told myself if I could hit Grandmaster in Overwatch, then I'll like buy a nice computer and try streaming and see how it goes. And it took like 6 months, and then I finally did it, and I was like, sweet, all right. And then I spent all my money and bought a PC that could actually like stream and run the game at more than 60 frames.
Yeah, I know the feel. Did you ever have to compete? I remember growing up, like I had to compete with my sister and my dad, like over the computer and stuff. Was that a thing when you were growing up, like to try and get time on to play games?
It was for a bit, but then that's why I built my own like kind of crappy computer from other pieces. It was for a little bit. My brother and I shared a computer, but then we eventually I just kind of split off and built my own next to his. So it worked out.
That's a big win. When you were in like playing the games like Medal of Honor, I don't want to skip too far ahead because you got really good at Overwatch. But when you were playing games before Overwatch, like Halo, etc., were you good at those games?
Yes, but I didn't realize that until after, which is kind of weird because I would play with my brother, and the funniest thing, this came up like, I don't even know, like a year ago. And I was like, I don't remember like being like good at Halo or anything. I just thought like, oh, it was fun. It was just enjoyable. And my brother was like, dude, I don't think you realize like the only reason that I kept up with you is because I cheated. And I was like, oh, what the heck?
Oh my God, your brother's a scumbag.
No, he's a great guy. But it was just like really funny. I was like, I had no idea.
Oh, that's hilarious. So he was actually cheating against you growing up and you never noticed. Wow.
Yeah. Chilling. It's funny.
Did you ever play with buddies, you know, at school or anything like that? Was that a thing for you, or was it mostly you and your brother?
It was mainly me and my brother. But like, and I'd have friends come over and stuff, but they didn't play like that many video games, or at least they didn't, like, said they weren't super into it. So I'd kind of just like mop them, and I wouldn't like, wouldn't think about it, because I was like, they don't play video games. Like, obviously I'm going to beat them. I play video games. So
was it a big thing for, you know, if your friends weren't playing that much, was it a thing like you wanted to play like all the time, or did you have a nice balance where like you were, you know, at school and then you're playing, or did you become kind of obsessed with playing?
Yeah. So, I was actually homeschooled up until high school. So I had a lot of free time, which was nice, but also, at the same time I was a springboard diver. My old coach used to say is I was the busiest homeschooler he's ever met, because I often was just like doing tons of other things, and gaming was like a big passion of mine, but it really didn't consume too much time for me.
Okay, cool. And when you were getting on the competitive side of diving, like, was that, do you think there's like an innate competitor in you?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. I like competition, whether it's like just in a ranked system online, or it's pushing myself to get better at something, that competition, like against myself, because like diving is a very like self-oriented sport, has kind of driven me to be a better like streamer in a sense, and a better gamer, and a better, you know, competitor, just because it's like a very individual sport. I learned to compete against myself, and that's like what is like can push me. It's like me pushing to be the better person, you know?
Totally. And that's true. I'm going to be true for years to come. The moment in high school, you were saying you were homeschooled up until high school. Mm-hmm. At this point, you're doing a bunch of extracurricular stuff. You're into games. When did your relationship change with games, when you were like, I'm really into this? Like, I'm going to play a lot more, because you don't become the best without playing a ton.
Yeah. Overwatch is still one of the games that I put the most time into, for sure. Even though I streamed Fortnite full time for like 2.5-3 years almost, I have somewhere in that. I don't know. I don't know the leveling system anymore, but I'm like the gold border in that game or whatever. And I put a lot of time into it, and it took, so basically like I started playing in the beta, and I actually didn't even want to play. My brother was like, dude, just download Overwatch. You got to try it with me. And I was like, all right, fine, I'll do it. And I played RuneScape and stuff, so like FPS games on the computer weren't really my thing. and then I got it, and I just like was like, wow, this is really fun. And then they came out with that, you know, the actual game came out after beta, and the rank system dropped, and I put a ton of time like just figuring out how to get good at a game, which I feel like a lot of people kind of skip over now. They're just like, oh, I'm nuts, you know, whatever. Especially like people that have come from a different game, and then they're all of a sudden, you know, already at the top rank of another game, and people don't understand that. Like, they spent all this time on their first game they got good at, of like learning how to get good at a game. And that's what I had to teach myself. And I went from, you know, gold to grandmaster in 6 months without having any experience before that.
So I need to wrap my head, because most folks want to be good at games, right? Like, you know, people are playing every day, they want to be better. Majority of people don't get to where you got to, though. So was it, you're just like, did you have, was the competitiveness that I need to be the best, or was it you were so disciplined about learning from what you just did? Like, how did you become so good over that 6 month period?
Yeah. So I have a lot of that to credit to diving, just because I'm very like critical about myself, if that makes sense. And that's, you know, has its pros and cons for sure. There are things that I'm very too critical about. But that just taught me a lot in terms of like just pushing myself. So every time basically I died in Overwatch, my mindset wasn't like, oh shoot, I died. My mindset was instantly, okay, how did I die? And what could I have done to prevent that? What can I do the next time to prevent that? And my mindset was constantly doing that, like just spinning in circles. So I was very, very focused And since I wasn't streaming at the point, my like attention wasn't diverted at all. It was just purely focused on, okay, how did I just die? What could I have done to change that? And what am I going to do next time so that doesn't happen again? And that allowed me to rank up a lot quicker than like the average gamer, I guess, is because I was very focused in that mindset. And a lot of people will be like, oh, I played this game for 5 hours today and I don't think I got any better. And I'd say you spent that 5 hours poorly then, because you could focus a lot more in like on one aspect of your gameplay and really attack it and then get better at it and then move on to the next one, you know, just break it down one by one. And that's how you, you know, build yourself up to be a better gamer. It doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah. When you were in high school, you were getting good at Overwatch. What age are you at this point?
I'm 22 now. I started streaming 3.5 years ago. So like about 18, 17, 18.
So you're 17, 18. You're getting really good at Overwatch. You started streaming. Were you like a good kid in school, or were you starting to get really into Overwatch at this point?
I was pretty good. I didn't take any AP classes. And so like, I didn't have like an extensive workload. I just was like, cause diving was a big part of my life. And, so I didn't really have time to like do any extra schoolwork. So I did pretty much all of my homework in school and just like finished all that. My main thing was like, I didn't really care about school and I still don't. It's just my minimum bar for me and my family was just like, I had to turn everything in. So it didn't matter if it was like my best work, as long as I just like completed every assignment. And so I got A's and B's. Like I didn't do anything spectacular, but I got A's and B's. I graduated with like a 3.7 GPA or something like that without like putting in too much effort.
Did your parents mind that you were gaming so much?
Not really, because I was on top of all my other stuff though. That was the main thing. Like if my grades started slacking, or if like I started, you know, skipping practices or anything, then they definitely would have been on it. But so I just pretty much all my free time went to gaming, but I had to be on top of all my other stuff in order to like actually pursue it.
Cool. I want to switch over a little bit about the content creation side. So were you watching, you know, YouTube, Twitch? Were you like a fan, as like a viewer of content?
A little bit. I actually didn't watch too much Twitch before I started streaming, which is odd because like I feel like a lot of people are on Twitch for a long time before they really like, you know, start creating content. I watched a little bit of a guy named Valkia because he was the best Pharah in the game of Overwatch.
We had him on the podcast, yeah.
Oh, you did? Oh, that's super fun. Yeah, he was like my first sub and everything. And I actually ended up hitting the same rank that he did of like the number one Pharah in Overwatch or whatever, which is super fun. But yeah, so I watched him and like Tim the Tapman a little bit, but I didn't spend too much time actually like watching Twitch, which I think is kind of was a little bit of a mistake on my part, but I didn't really know where I was going. So in the long run, you can't really like look back on that and be like, oh man, should have watched more Twitch.
Well, it seems to be working out. When you became really good at Overwatch and you're playing Pharah, and you started to create a brand almost around being really good at a particular character within Overwatch, was that intentional, or was it you just really liked that play style and you became known for that?
I really liked the play style, pretty much. It was just because I really liked playing Pharah. It gives me a really fun feeling playing somebody who's like in any game, in any capacity, playing off meta, just not playing like the people who are expected to be picked, because then it gives you a lot of freedom to do whatever you want to do. Like you can play the game your way and still do it well. If you can do it well, that's so cool. So I would often, you know, go up against, you know, some of the best, you know, hit scan players. I don't know how familiar you are with Overwatch, but, you know, Pharah shoots rockets and projectiles and other people can just shoot you straight out of the sky if they have really good aim. And that challenge was really, really fun for me because I was like, these guys aren't going to miss. How am I going to play so that I can beat them, even though I'm playing like a worse character? And that challenge in itself was like really like at the core of like what I want my content to be across every game. So
I love that. I had an old teammate. His name was Froggen, and he did something similar in League of Legends. It was a very unconventional pick. It was a Nivea. He'd always play it. But he was fascinated because he knew that character so well in the game that he felt he could outplay anyone just based on his knowledge of that character.
Yeah. Yeah, I absolutely love that. That's so fun to me.
I I love it. So you became known as a Pharaoh. When you started streaming on Twitch, did you have any expectation? Were you like, I need viewers, I want to make this a thing, like this is going to be my job? What was your relationship with streaming?
Yeah, honestly, it was not to be like there wasn't a relationship, but it was just like, I'm just going to do it and see what happens. And that's, I just kind of like started streaming. And I didn't have like any expectation going to it. But like after the first like 2 days of streaming to like zero viewers, you know, obviously because you don't have any following going into it, I was like, all right, what am I going to do to like actually like, if somebody does scroll down to zero viewers, how am I going to get them to click on my stream over everyone else's like that's surrounding me right now? And so being a diver, and I still do a lot of this stuff, I started doing a backflip in real life every time I got a follower. So that was my title, is one follow equals one backflip.
In that room?
Yeah, actually I was in the room across. This is, I just like kind of transformed my room into a streaming room when I moved back from college. But yeah, so I started doing a backflip for every follow. And, you know, people would be like, no way he's actually going to do a backflip. And then I'll do it. And they'll be like, all right, well, you earned that, I guess. Like, so that was like a really unique way for me to grow. And I still do a backflip every time I get a subscriber on Twitch here.
I was going to say that had to evolve because surely the follower thing doesn't scale very well. If you get like 100 follows, you're just, you could kill yourself.
Yeah. So in the first week, and since I'm already at the top rank, you know, I was one of those guys who like, you know, put the twitch.tv/Keo. It was KEO3 at the time. But I put that in like at the end of our games or whatever and say one follow equals one backflip. And so many people would come in and be like, dude, no way you're actually going to do a backflip. And then, you know, it was kind of like obviously it was self-promoting, but at the same time, it wasn't just like, I don't know, like scummy self-promotion where a lot of people will just like put their link and then like, you know, nothing really happens there, if that makes sense.
No, totally. How did you get to, like, how did you come up with the idea of I need to make people find me? Like, why did that matter? Like, why did you not just, like, assume that the platform was going to do it for you?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't have any experience on YouTube or Instagram or Twitter or anything. I had, like, literally no social media presence aside from, like, you know, my personal Instagram. And I was just like, if I want to actually like get a viewer or something, I need to do something unique. I need to stand out. And I was just like, all right, let's do it. Let's just try it and see what happens. And so then
So you were in the first couple of, you were like zero viewers, you know, the first couple of streams. How long did it take you even just to get to your first 10 viewers?
Honestly, by the end of my first month of streaming, I had I think about 1500 followers on Twitch. So I don't know about the concurrent viewership. I think I was averaging about 10 viewers, 10, like after about 2 months, I'd say probably on average, at least like that was like the low.
And how consistent were you at that point? Were you streaming, you know, as frequently as you are now at that point, or was it less frequent?
Definitely less frequent and shorter. But pretty much all my free time went into it. I would go to school, I'd come back, I'd eat some food, I'd go to dive practice, I'd come back and make sure I don't have any more homework left, and then I would stream as much as I can. So probably anywhere between 3 to 5 hours a day-ish, I'd say on average. So
I find it interesting because you were like, I don't have any expectation of streaming, but you were putting all of your free time into streaming.
I was more like trying to get top 500 in Overwatch. And I was like, well, if I'm playing, I'm going to be streaming, might as well. Cause if something good happens, like, obviously I want to take that opportunity, you know? So like that, I was kind of just like setting myself up for success, I guess, if something did, like, I didn't have expectations going into it and I was trying to get to top 500 in Overwatch. And I was like, I'm playing this game all the time, so I should be streaming it.
That totally makes sense. Why did you keep it up? I mean, 10 viewers in 2 months. Were you motivated by like the growth you were seeing in followers and viewers, or were you just like, why did you keep going?
I just really enjoyed it. Like, I built my own small community, and I have like, want to say like 10 or 20 subs that are, you know, like 40 month subs now that have followed me through all of my transition and were there from like the very beginning. And like, I absolutely love those people and I love just talking to them and hanging out. And that was just like, it made playing games so much more than just playing games to me. Cause it was just like, I get to hang out. I get to talk to people and just have fun and make an impact on people's lives. Like, and in a positive way, which is just like, just for playing video games. That's sick.
Yeah. What was your first big break?
So interestingly enough, I got hosted by Calvin, Aimbot Calvin. He doesn't really stream too much anymore, but I got hosted by him within my first 3 months of streaming. And that same night, Harblue also hosted me. And I was, dude, I don't even know what happened to that stream. It was ridiculous. I got like, and for me at the time, I only had like 1,000 followers on Twitch. And I like basically doubled my following on Twitch in one stream, which was insane to me.
You didn't do 1,000 backflips though, right?
No, I did like 300.
Jeez.
Or no, not 300. No, two. My record right now is like 254, I think, in one stream. But so I did somewhere between like 100 and 200 flips that stream. And the worst part about it was I had a wrist surgery the next morning and I couldn't drink any water. So I was like doing flips and I couldn't drink water and I was still playing games. But I'm like, I have like 2,000 people watching right now. I'm not going to stop streaming. So yeah, that was an interesting night.
You got to do what you got to do. So you had that kind of moment where they hosted you. Did that continue after that? Did you have those years retain or did they drop off?
It didn't really retain too much because I ended up having to be a lot more sporadic after that summer as I went to college at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo for my freshman year as a computer science major. And there I just like for the first 3 or 4 months, I didn't stream as much as I had wanted to. And I just couldn't. I had dive practices where, cause I was diving in college for the first quarter and, you know, being new to school and stuff and wanted to meet people. I basically just had no free time and streamed probably like 5 to 10 hours a week, which is like, for me, it was like super low because I was streaming pretty consistently. And then, yeah. So it kind of did drop off a little bit from there. And then I like built back up a little bit and I was like averaging about 10 viewers, like is with Overwatch and in college on like a little bit of a schedule. So
how did that feel when you had that spike and then you kind of lost it all again because you had to go to college? How did that feel? Were you frustrated? Did you want to, you know, get back at it and make content again?
I don't know. Honestly, like streaming to me was still just such a hobby that I didn't ever think of it as like I lost anything. It didn't feel like a loss. It was just something that happened. And I just kind of like was like, all right, well, that's like bummer. I'm not averaging as much as I used to, but I didn't like, I don't know. Yeah, it didn't really affect like how I streamed or how I thought about streaming.
Cool. When you were at college, you mentioned you're there for your first year. Did you stop college? Did you drop out of college?
Yes, I did. I did not finish college.
Why?
There were a lot of reasons, but one of the biggest ones is I just really did not like the way that they were doing school there. So I was a computer science major and they're on the quarter system, meaning that I'm going to have 3 computer science teachers over, you know, my first year there. 2 out of 3 of my computer science teachers were fired the quarter after I took them. So I learned very little and almost failed both of those classes. And I probably should have, but they just like, because they fired those teachers, they felt bad and, you know, like gave me a passing grade. So I just like, I really lost a lot of respect for the education system and I already don't have a lot of respect for the education system, but that just like really put the nail in the coffin of like, man, I really do not want to be here. And so that summer when I got back from school, I had already in college been streaming, like I want to say like 10, 20 hours a week. I like started upping the amount of time I was streaming and I switched over to Fortnite. I lost a lot of my viewership from Overwatch. So I basically started over streaming when I switched to Fortnite. I went from averaging like 10 to 20 viewers to 3 viewers again. And I was like, all right, that's a bummer. But I eventually like built back up in about a month. I was back to like 20 viewers and even like going up a lot higher. And basically I got home from that summer and I told my parents, like, I don't want to get an internship. I'm going to try streaming full time and see if I can make something of this and see if I can make it into a career. And I did so much that summer. It was ridiculous. And by the end of that summer, I was signed on a Cloud9 and I, you know, paid off all my college, dropped out, and I've been full time since then.
That is incredible. What a summer.
Yeah.
What a summer. So how did your parents feel when you said, I'm going to make a run at this?
I honestly, like, if I was in my dad's position, I don't know what I would have thought, but I'm a good kid. I did all my stuff. Like, you know, I'm very on top of it. And so I have a very good relationship with my parents and they just kind of trusted me and they were like, all right, like, let's see if you can do it. Like they don't know anything. I hadn't explained too much about the industry and they didn't really know too much about the industry. And actually one of the biggest stories that just like shows how much like my dad believed in me without knowing anything about the industry is I spent all of my money and I got a new computer because Fortnite was a little more intensive than Overwatch was. And if I wanted to like, you know, have a better chance at doing well, I'd need, you know, higher frame rates, higher streaming rates and stuff. So I upgraded my computer. I spent all of my money and then my graphics card broke. The one thing I didn't upgrade, it broke and I was out of money. And I literally came to my dad in tears and I was like, I can't even like start. I wanted to at least try it and I can't even start. And this sucks and I don't know what to do. And he didn't even like say anything. He was just like, don't worry about it. And like went online, bought a new graphics card and said, all right, this is your early birthday present. Go try this. You need to at least try it. And I was just like, dude, that week I got hosted by Tim the Tatman for 20,000 viewers.
Wow.
And I was just like, all right, I can't explain that. That's ridiculous. Like, thank God. That's insane.
Imagine your dad was like, well, hold on, give me a couple of weeks and we can get you that card.
Yeah. I don't even know. That was just like an act of pure generosity without thinking of like how much money this is going to cost, how much this is like, do I really want to give him a chance at gaming for a job? Like, do I really want my son to be a gamer? You know, he didn't even think about any of that. And just like instantly was like, no, you're going to try this. You're at least trying this. There's no way you're not trying it. You went this far. Like,
did that put a fire under your ass where you're like, well, he's believing in me. I'm going to go for
this. Oh, absolutely. There's without a doubt. That was like one of the biggest things in my career that was like, I'm going to try my best to make this happen. Yeah. Like,
so you, like, what were you actually doing in that summer? Like, how did you grow so much? You got that host from Tim and Tatman. Like, how did your profile just grow so quickly within that summer?
Yeah. So, I still would like to claim the title of the backflip guy. And I started doing trick shots in Fortnite while doing backflips at the same time. So basically I would do something in the game. So one of my like most famous trick shots was the first one that blew up. I actually did it in a college dorm room and I had my friend shoot a rocket while I'm riding on the rocket. I had my character in the game do a backflip. I did a backflip in real life and then I killed the last guy to win the game.
That is pretty sick.
Yeah, so I had... And I kept doing like stuff like that and trying to one up myself in terms of like coming up with a better backflip trick shot. So I got really popular on Reddit for that. So I got a lot of traction from just like posting my clips onto Reddit, and that was a lot of fun.
And then you got signed by C9, and was that, you know, a team sponsorship? They're giving you like a monthly stipend, some gear, things like that.
funniest thing. I actually submitted a Reddit post when TSM, at the time the team was Myth, Hamlins, and Daquan. And they were, that was at the time of like Fortnite when it was really new. There wasn't like a competitive scene that was too super serious yet. And they were looking for teams of four. And basically they had openly said they're looking for a fourth TSM member. Without a lot of requirements, I made a montage of mine and said, this is my this is my letter to TSM Daquan and to applying to be your duo partner. And basically, he had a video of him kind of like talking about some of the requirements they were looking for the fourth person. And I was one of very few people that actually fit those requirements because he wanted somebody that was able to compete with like Myth and Hamlins. And I was one of few people that had actually like killed both of them just in public games by random luck. So I was able to like literally put him saying, I want somebody who can, you know, take down Hamlins. And I put a clip of me killing Hamlins, take down Myth and put a clip of
that
me killing
is
Myth.
So good.
And it just exploded on Reddit. And I don't think you can see how many views it has now on Reddit because like Reddit updated and stuff. But at the time, I think it had like 600 or 700,000 views on Reddit alone. And Cloud9 ended up reaching out to me from that. And they were like, hey, do you want to be a pro player for Fortnite? And I was like, no, because I wanted to be a content creator instead, because I just like, I didn't care too much about competitive Fortnite and at the time. So, but anyway, I signed on to as a content creator on the Cloud9 after that, and it's been awesome.
That's super cool. And then from there, did your view, like you're getting these viral videos happening for you, was your viewership going up on Twitch at the same time? Did you get to a point where like, I can see myself, this is a job now?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that was like opening the doors to me, for me personally, was like just getting picked up by a tier one esports organization, an organization that I've followed and respected for, you know, the last 5 years. Well, at the time, 5 years ago, but now, you know, 8 years. But that was like the biggest thing for me. It was like, wow, like I'm on like a tier one organization. Like this is real. This isn't like fake. I think if that wasn't the case, I would have questioned it a lot more. And I would have probably considered going back to school. But since I was on a tier one esports organization, I was like, that was just like, we're doing it. We're going to go for it. And I'm going to take time off school and we're going to send it.
I love that. What is an average day look like for you now?
So right now I try to get up around like 10, because I stream in the evenings, so I'm normally pretty wired. And I recently started streaming like a lot less, or not a lot less, but for some people it's a lot less. I stream around like 4 to 10 or 11 p.m. PST. I normally like wake up and I try to work on like videos or TikTok, Instagram stuff. And then I start streaming at 4, go to 10 or 11. And then I try to think of like what I'm going to do for the next day, kind of plan out what I'm working on and stuff. And I do that about 6 days a week. And then obviously I go to the gym. I go rock climbing and to the beach in my free time because I live in Southern California. So it's nice.
It's a beautiful place in SoCal as well. When in your day-to-day, you started making a lot more video content outside of just the stream.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you do that? Was that something you were always doing? You became more consistent at?
So right now it's kind of an investment for me because of like my content was very revolved around big clips and really cool plays and stuff. I blew up on Instagram. And while that was really good and helped me grow a lot, the problem is Instagram is not a good social media platform in terms of being a streamer, I'd say. Just because Instagram does not like it if you promote other social media platforms on their platform. So I ended up in the last year, I've been shadow banned on Instagram, which basically means I can only reach, so I have almost 200,000 followers on Instagram, and I can only reach about 1% of them every time I post, and I don't reach any new accounts anymore. So that was like my main source of like getting new people to Twitch, because Twitch doesn't have an algorithm, so you either have to, you know, like scroll down to find that, or already be averaging, you know, like 1,000+ viewers to actually like gain organic growth. So for me at the time, like streaming for 12 hours a day and just getting as many insane clips as I could was really worth it for me. So I've only recently changed that up because I was like kind of just not sure of how I should spend my time to better, you know, grow myself. So I've been like spending more time focused on YouTube and TikTok and taking advantage of their algorithms to, you know, funnel people into Twitch to grow that way.
You're mentioning things like funnel, driving traffic, understanding algorithms. How did you become so savvy about that stuff?
this is kind of funny. College. my 1 year at college, every opportunity that I got to like take an assignment and have any creativity with it, I went straight into the streaming or Twitch or like algorithms. And as a computer science major, I got to study a lot of algorithms. And in engineering, you know, you do a lot of technical writing. And one of my teachers basically gave us freedom for almost every assignment we did. So that entire quarter, I researched tons of different, like, you know, how does somebody grow on YouTube? How do you make a title and a thumbnail that what makes you click? What makes you click on this versus something else? Why did you click on this and versus something else? So I actually like dove really deep into like the psychology and statistics of like what makes people click in general. And so I did a ton of research on that, and that, I don't know, that's always been really interesting to me. So it's something I've always just researched on my own in general, but having that actually like dedicated time to really like go after it was really good. And that teacher actually told me that I should take a year off of school, which is really funny. So,
but must have believed in you.
Yeah. So it's pretty funny. But
what's something, you know, if you were to rewind the clock, you know, 5 years back or even longer, 8 years back, and you could tell yourself when you're coming up, what's something that you've learned now that you wish you could have told yourself back in the beginning?
Diversify my time and my assets. I spent the majority of my time just streaming on Twitch. And I think if I had spent more of that time, or not even more of that time, just 10% of my time just posting consistently on YouTube and posting consistently, actually, honestly, just on YouTube, I would probably have somewhere between 500 and a million subs on YouTube, just because like of how much engagement my Instagram profile had, how much engagement I had on Reddit. And I think if I just had consistent uploads, I would probably have a very, very large following on YouTube. And I just didn't take advantage of that opportunity because I didn't realize that there was one there.
That's really good advice. You get a lot of creators, especially on the live side, it's so easy to go all in on Twitch, for example, and just go live for 12 hours a day.
Totally. And you think you're working. Like you it does like, because you will see some growth, but the thing is, you can grow so much faster by using a website that has an algorithm or a social media platform that has an algorithm. If you're not posting on TikTok right now and you're trying to grow, you're making a mistake, because TikTok has the best algorithm for new creators. You can have zero followers and have something get a million views, which is unheard of on every other social media platform. So if you're a small creator, use TikTok to your advantage.
I'm sure our listeners are scrambling if they've not got TikTok already to go spin up their TikTok account. Or the other one, what's that, Triller is the competitor now?
Triller doesn't have a big community. Big user base, so, yeah. So I wouldn't really focus on Triller. I mean, might as well. This can't hurt. If you post on TikTok, post another one on Triller. So what's another 2 minutes in your day? Yeah. There you go.
Cool, Keo. It was great to have you on today. If folks want to find you, where should they go after this podcast?
Yeah, you can go to twitch.tv/Keo, or I'm on Twitter at Keo, Instagram at C9Keo, or you can check out my YouTube, which is also Keo, K-E-E-O-H. Would love to talk to you. If you have any questions about streaming, I absolutely love talking about it. Thank you so much for having me on this. It's been a pleasure.
Awesome. Thanks, Matt.